Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. It's 4 o'clock in the Pacific time zone. Radical Russ here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful, legal Potland, Oregon for the rest of this week. Friday, I fly up, or fly down, I guess I should say, to San Francisco, California. I'll be a part of the International Cannabis Business Conference taking place in San Francisco at the Hyatt Regency on the 13th and 14th. Tommy Chong, Dr. Joycelyn Elders, Andrew Sullivan, and more. And I'm going to have a special show tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow for a special half-hour panel interview with Anthony Johnson from the Measure 91 campaign, the man who got marijuana legalized here in Oregon, among others. I mean, he's always very, very humble about not taking all the credit for it, but come on, he was the public face. Debbie Goldsberry will be here. She's a longtime advocate, activist in California. We'll talk to her, see what's up. And our good friend Ngayo Bilam, cannabis comedian and activist. He will be emceeing at the International Cannabis Business Conference. We're going to talk for half an hour about marijuana politics, the blog that Anthony is a big part of, and marijuana politics, what's happening in California and Oregon and the rest of the West Coast. And we'll give a little preview to the International Cannabis Business Conference. When we get to hour two, Toker Talk Radio, you can call in and ask questions of Ngayo, Debbie, and Anthony on tomorrow's show. The phone number is 971-533-7111, and it'll be a great half hour of question and answers for tomorrow's show. So tune in tomorrow, our International Cannabis Business Conference special on the Russ Belville Show. And speaking of ICBC, news came out today that International Cannabis Business Conference will actually be going international. Come this October, the ICBC will make its debut in Vancouver, British Columbia. I have a strong feeling that I'll be there. And in April of 2017, the ICBC will be going to Berlin, Germany. Ja, das ist gut. I can't wait to head to Berlin, Germany and embarrass myself with my high school German. That'll be excellent. It'll be ausgezeichnet. what else do we got to talk about here? The Super Bowl happened yesterday, and, some people were kind of let down by the Super Bowl. It wasn't a big offensive fireworks, a lot of sloppy play, a lot of drop passes, a lot of personal foul penalties. It's not going to go down in the books as one of the best Super Bowls ever by any stretch of the imagination. But I will note two things about the Super Bowl that made me very happy. Number one, Von Miller, a defensive player, getting the Super Bowl MVP. That happens from time to time. Really nice to see it. I like it when defensive guys, get some props. That's great. And no doubt about it, Von Miller had a monster Super Bowl game. And the number two thing, and I just love being able to say this, is that since marijuana was legalized in Colorado and Washington, there have been three Super Bowls. The Broncos and the Seahawks played in the first one. The Seahawks then played and lost in the second one. And the Broncos then played in one in the third one.
So that means since marijuana has been legalized, out of three Super Bowls, the Broncos and Seahawks have both played in two of them, and the Broncos and Seahawks have both won one of them. Marijuana, the gateway to the Lombardi Trophy. Speaking of marijuana and football, make sure you check out gridironcannabis.com. It's the website of the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition with Kyle Turley and Ricky Williams and Nate Jackson and a bunch of other football players who say, let's open up medical marijuana to these players. Let's stop suspending them for their marijuana use. It's the best protective for concussions there is. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this Bill and Hillary Clinton thing and a look at Marley Naturals. Ain't so natural, if you ask me.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Chronicling the latest cannabis industry news and headlines.
Well, with four states with tax and regulate and the District of Columbia.
The state of cannabis.
Oh my God, it's refreshing. We have people that generally wouldn't speak on behalf of cannabis for fear of retribution, fear of losing your practices, fear of many of those things, and find ourselves in a place that we finally can.
Bringing you fact-based news and views and keeping listeners on the pulse of what's happening in the industry today. The State of Cannabis. On demand anytime, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Almost 9 after the hour here at Rolla J Studios. Folks in the chat room are talking about Bernie Sanders' appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend with Larry David. The Burn Your Enthusiasm skit was great. Loved it. Good stuff. And it's kind of nice now because, as you know, I'm going to be living on the road this year. Throughout all of 2016, I'm going to be traveling across the United States reporting on marijuana legalization this year. I head to San Francisco this weekend, Seattle the following weekend, Fort Worth the weekend after that, and there's just going to be plenty of travel this year. And so that means I got to go completely remote, and I've already got the remote studio. It's amazing. I can fit an entire two-person professional radio broadcast into a laptop backpack and a camera bag. Like, I'm totally carry-on and can report from anywhere and stream anywhere as long as it's got electricity and Wi-Fi. So you're going to hear a lot of me from a lot of different places coming up over the next few months. But also I had to figure out how am I going to take my TV with me? Because there's certain shows that I relax to and I enjoy because, folks, I don't know if you know this. I'm all about marijuana. Like, I literally wake up and the first thing I do is I get onto the computer and check the latest marijuana stories and do tweets and Facebook posts and start analyzing stories for my show and researching statistics and so forth. Everything I do is marijuana focused, except for two other things: football and my TV watching. And there's not a lot. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't have the time for it, but I do like HBO. I like to catch Bill Maher and John Oliver and Vice. Right. And I do love watching Saturday Night Live, catching up on that. And then there's a couple of, you know, junk food shows that I watch, like trash TV. Like, I watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, number one, the women on that show are fabulously pretty. But aside from that, also, it's just, you know, comic book show. It's a lot of fun to watch. So there's a few shows that I like to follow. Now, following all these on cable has become prohibitively expensive. My cable bill per month at the last Roller J Studios I just moved out of is $250 a month. Now, that included cable, HBO, and high-speed internet. The highest speed internet, by the way, that it could be, right? So, yeah, I did increase my bill a bit with that. But still, $250 a month was insane. So now, switched over, and we've got Hulu, Netflix, and HBO Now. Subscribing to all of those for somewhere around $35-$40 a month. And then got the Verizon cell phone with the big, big data plan. And I can use the cell phone as a mobile hotspot. And so for my monthly cost, used to be about $250. And the cost for the cell phone, I'm going to be able to get these down to around $200 a month. And I want to thank those of you who are continuing sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. I know we've been in transition, moving off of 420 radio and switching over to cannabis radio. And in that transition, I haven't yet firmed up my whole VIP thing. And some of you still have some old VIP donations coming in. And I tell you, I so appreciate it because it's helping to pay those bandwidth bills and those subscription bills. But we're going to get that reinstated on the Radical Russ website any day now. I hope by the end of March. I'm looking for some professional web designers who can help me redesign RadicalRust.com because, frankly, it's gotten too big and unwieldy for me to handle it. We'll keep you posted, let you know about that situation. All right, let's get back to some talking about this Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton thing and the attack on Bernie Sanders and his supporters as being online sexist trolls. The so-called Bernie bros phenomenon. I don't disagree. There's been some awful, sexist, mean things said about Hillary Clinton. And by comparison, you don't see those kind of mean trolling comments about Bernie Sanders. So I get what they're upset about. But I also think they're completely over-magnifying the troll to human ratio on the internet, right? See, the power of trolls is that one of them or a few of them seem like a lot of them because they're the ones that put in the most comments. Like when you see all these mean trollish kind of comments, scroll through the page and notice how many are from the same guy. It's just the same guy posting different things on different websites, but it's generally the same account, right? And that the people who aren't trollish are also the kind of people that rarely leave comments. So, you know, don't put too much stock into what you're seeing on internet comment boards. If I put a lot of stock into what I saw written about me on the internet, I'd have eaten a shotgun years ago. Just some mean, terrible things said about me. And you just have to accept that that's part of the online world. And I think where there's this disconnect is that guys like David Brock and Bill Clinton and Lloyd Blankfein and Hillary Clinton, they're from a different era. They're 20th century people. Like, they take internet comments as to be like real people who would say and think those real things in reality. And they don't understand that, you know, trolls are just kind of a part of the society of the internet. You know, it doesn't really represent what's going on in the real world. I think, and I said this in the rant, that a huge part of Bernie Sanders' support among young people is that he's actually speaking to the needs of young people. You know, how many campaigns have we seen where the politicians talk about capital gains tax cuts and preferred nation trading status and authorizations for the use of military force and a whole bunch of topics that, yeah, they have import to young people since they're the ones that serve in wars and can be affected by the economy for the longest time, etc. But nothing that's like a direct young people issue. What does the average young person care about the capital gains tax or the estate tax or negotiations about trade deals? They don't see it as directly affecting them. But when you start to talk to young people about having to amass $50,000 worth of debt to get a degree that doesn't get you a job that can pay for that debt, now you've caught their attention. When you start to talk to young people about medical care and not having to go through a labyrinth of employer options and different plans to try to cover yourself, but instead, you know, just being like any other OECD company or country and having some sort of public health care, that's something that speaks directly to young people. And when we start talking about legalization of marijuana, when young people are 3 out of 4 of the people who get arrested for marijuana, when young people know somebody in their social set who's had setbacks because of getting caught for marijuana, that speaks directly to those young people. And that's why they're supporting Senator Sanders in marked numbers above Hillary Clinton. And it doesn't help that Hillary Clinton is a throwback candidate. She's an establishment candidate. You talk to these young people and say, hey, you know, wouldn't it be great to go back to the Clinton years of the 90s? And they're like, what, when I was in kindergarten? There's no reference for them about how the pot or the dot-com bubble was such a big thing and the economy is great and everybody had jobs and everybody loved Bill Clinton. It means nothing to them. Doesn't register to them. All it does register is 20th century. Old school. Old. And it's kind of an ironic thing that that 74-year-old Bernie Sanders has better cachet with the young people than 69-year-old Hillary Clinton. But again, it's because Bernie speaks like a young person. What he's been saying has been virtually the same since 1963. You can go back and see his speeches in the House and in the Senate, where he's been consistent. And another aspect of this, I think, that the Clinton camp and the establishment Democrats cannot see is how fed up young people are with America being in a perpetual state of war. If you're a 19-year-old voter, hell, if you're a 21-year-old voter, if you're a 25-year-old voter, America's been at war for as long as you can remember. We've been at war in Afghanistan for almost 15 years now. There are two things that are a constant when they think of America, and that is, ever since they've been aware politically, America's been at war in the Middle East, and there's been legal medical marijuana. They don't remember a time when we weren't at war and when marijuana was not a medicine. So you get a candidate that says, hey, maybe we ought not go to war every year in the Middle East for some reason when there's plenty of armies in the Middle East, Muslim armies, Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia, we're looking at you, Jordan, we're looking at you, that have massive armies that could be dealing with this situation. But they don't have to deal with it because Uncle Sugar will come in and deal with it. He'll put the boots on the ground. He'll get the kids with their limbs blown off. And the younger voters aren't going to put up with that anymore. It's their friends that are the ones that come back missing an arm, missing a leg, with post-traumatic stress that they get put in prison for if they use marijuana to treat. So yeah, Sanders comes off as the anti-war pro-marijuana candidate. No wonder he's doing better among the young people. But those are the elephants in the room that the establishment Democrats cannot address because Hillary Clinton is on the wrong side of both of them. She's still on the prohibition side. She's still on the drug war side. She's still on the real war side.
The exciting.
Yeah.
Even Beavis and Butthead don't like Hillary. Don't worry, Hillary. Beavis and Butthead don't vote. You're safe there. Hey, folks, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone. That means I need to rush off to a very important union-mandated safety briefing with the strong silicone, unbreakable glow-in-the-dark bomb. Be back right after this.
Gather with fellow cannabis companies past the Golden Gate to San Francisco and the 2016 International Cannabis Business Conference, February 13th and 14th at the fabulous Hyatt Regency. Register now at internationalcbc.com. Learn from leading industry luminaries like cannabis celebrity legend Tommy Chong, former Surgeon General Dr. Joycelyn Elders, best-selling author Andrew Sullivan, and so many more. Plus, exhibitors, expert panels, and education made to calibrate your new or existing cannabis plan. Catch CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show at the 2016 International Cannabis Business Conference and register at internationalcbc.com now.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and I'm going to move on now to topic that's kind of interesting to me, and that's this this debut of Marley Naturals. The Marley Natural brand, of course, is a venture by Privateer Holdings. You gotta love a place called Privateer Holdings, right? Privateer being basically commandeered ships, right? Stolen ships in the time of war. So Privateer entered into a licensing deal with the estate of the late Bob Marley, whose birthday was this Saturday. He would have been 71. And licensed his name for this line of cannabis products, Marley Natural. And they've got marijuana, pipes, cannabis oil, hemp seed body wash, and more. An eighth of Marley Natural weed will go for just $50, folks. Only $50 an eighth for Marley Natural weed. And the half gram of Marley Natural oil will go for just $40. Just $40 a half gram. In case your sarcasm detectors aren't working, I'm being very sarcastic about that. $50 an eighth is $400 an ounce. Bob Marley himself better have come back from the grave and grown this on the mountains of Jamaica for it to be $400 an ounce. Even when we're talking about the average California dispensary prices, like we mentioned, $300 an ounce in California, that's pretty hefty, $400 an ounce, $50 an eighth, just because it says Marley Natural on it. $40 a half gram for oil. Some of the pipes, some of the trays, you know, $60, $80, $120 for some of these different items. And I'm reading the piece here on Rolling Stone magazine talking about the splashy LA cannabis launch up in the Hollywood Hills. And I just, it's tough for me to get my mind around the idea of the corporate exploitation of Bob Marley's name. I mean, I'm not surprised, okay? Right? But I just, you know, what would Bob Marley himself have to say about this? I don't fault his family, right? You got to make a living. I don't fault his family here. I'm not necessarily saying this is wrong. It's expected. It's capitalism. I see it happening. It's just on some sort of philosophical level, just this just feels icky, right? It'd be like licensing, you know, Gandhi as a spokesperson for caviar. Licensing Mother Teresa brand lingerie. There's just some, I mean, it's not wrong, I guess. It's not against the law. It just seems there's something not right about it. Are you with me on this? And the other thing, of course, is that this is launched with Privateer, and the weed grown isn't grown in Jamaica. It's not helping the Jamaican ganja farmer. And I got to visit Jamaica last year. Fell in love with the place and the people. And you see images of Bob Marley everywhere you go. Cultural icon, their hero. And to think what they must think when they read these stories about Marley Natural and rich white Americans buying American grown marijuana for $50 an eighth with Bob Marley's name on it, while the Jamaican ganja farmers can't engage in this international trade, in this international business, because of the treaties and the laws and the prohibition. It's just weird to me. Now, it's my hope that the money being made off of the Marley Natural brand, going to, in some degree, I'd have to imagine, to the Marley estate, could then be cycled into Jamaica and the people and help them out somehow. I hope. It's just, man, it just seems very weird to me, this whole Marley. It just doesn't seem natural for Marley weed to be not grown in Jamaica and to cost $50 an eighth. For $50, I was in Jamaica. I could have got a garbage bag full of Jamaican ganja. Well, maybe not that big, but maybe one of them plastic store sacks. For $50, you can get a lot of weed in Jamaica. It's not the best weed. It can be seedy, and it's, you know, if it's approaching 12 or 14%, you're lucking out. But it's not no 50 and 8, that's for damn sure. So I don't know. This Marley Natural thing, you can talk to me about this in the chat room, what you think about this. Yeah. John Thomas says the Marleys are trying to pay off their coffee business debt. Yeah, no doubt about that. By the way, if you didn't know, we have a chat room here live for the Russ Belville show. You just go to cannabisradio.com and scroll down to where you find the player. And on the player, there's a little talk balloon. And on that talk balloon, you click that, you'll get a pop-up window that'll help you out. Also, speaking of cannabisradio.com, coming up in just about a half hour, top of the hour, we got the Stoner Jesus show coming up. Get blessed by Stoner Jesus and the Stony Spirit. Does he have a Stony Spirit? There ought to be a Stony Spirit. I'm not too big on religion, so I wouldn't be exactly the guy to ask, would I? There's another story I've got to get to. Oh my God, this one. This is in the New York Daily News. Love the headline. California jury awards $5.7 million to former PTA president framed with drugs by angry parents. What? So what happened here? This is in California. Two irate parents that are now divorced sought to get revenge on a PTA president. And it was because... Okay, so it's Kent and Jill Easter, who used to be married, now they're not, who are also both lawyers. Jill confronted the PTA parent because Jill's son was not waiting for her outside the school to get picked up. The PTA president said to the mom that her son was a little slow getting outside, which the mom interpreted as the PTA president saying the boy was slow, like intelligence-wise, right? Developmentally disabled. So their conflict escalated. The mom accused the PTA president of stalking her son, demanded the PTA president be removed. School found nothing wrong from the PTA president, never did anything. So in 2011, the married couple, Jill and Kent, hatched a plan what they believed to be a brilliant plot. This is according to the Daily News. They planted marijuana and prescription pills in Peter's car. Then Kent called the cops using a fake name and Indian accent and blew in Peter's for supposed erratic driving and blew in Peter's. Okay. Told on Peter's, the PTA mom, called her in for the supposed erratic driving on school grounds. This led to Peter's, the PTA president, being detained for police questioning for about 2 hours with her daughter seeing this whole thing going on, right? PTA president was crying and begging for him not to put the drugs on the car because people would see it. Everybody was looking at me, and I felt very humiliated. So, the Easters, the couple, accused the PTA president of exaggerating her distress, but the fellow, Kent, sheepishly confessed to the phoned-in crime. When asked in court if he planted the drugs, he replied very stupidly and unfortunately, yes. So, this couple who planted the drugs on the PTA president forced her to get cuffed and stuffed and questioned with drugs on the hood of her car right in front of all the kids at school just won $5.7 million in damages. You cannot plant drugs on people to get them busted. I don't care who they are, what they did. That is forbidden. Back in that, you know, around 2011, and maybe it was because of this case, was it 2011 or longer? But I got into a Twitter fight with Dr. Drew. You know Dr. Drew Pinsky, the TV celebrity psychobabblist, right? Dr. Drew and I got into a kind of a Twitter beef because he had come out and said that if he was, and this was back when Lindsay Lohan was getting into all sorts of trouble, drunk driving and pills and all the terrible things she was doing, right? When Lindsay Lohan was in trouble, Dr. Phil had gone, Dr. Phil, what's the difference? Dr. Drew had gone off about how if he was the father, he would plant drugs in Lindsay's car and call the police. No, that's terrible. You shouldn't applaud that. I would plant funny. The odd keystroke sometimes makes for comedy. I would plant drugs in her car and call the police so she'd get busted so that they'd force her into rehab. And I called out Dr. Drew on this. I'm like, that is such, I don't even remember the exchange, but basically my thought process being that is such bullshit. You don't felonize somebody to force them into treatment, even if it's good for them. You know what freedom has to mean, right? Freedom has to mean that you're free to make bad decisions too, or it's not freedom. If you're only free to make a certain set of good decisions, not really freedom. And I'm not talking about crimes, right? You're not free to choose to rape or murder or commit arson, right? But what Lindsay Lohan was up to was drinking herself to death and being addicted to pills. If you're just doing it to yourself, you can't be forced into rehab. I'm sorry, that's just wrong. And framing someone to get them into rehab, especially your own daughter, oh my God, that was just beyond the pale. So we got in a beef about this and went back and forth. So I'm happy to see this, that people get the message that you cannot plant drugs on people to try to get them busted, to use prohibition as a tool of revenge. That's just evil and unacceptable. Now, the $5.7 million, according to this story, New York Daily News, the male of the couple, Kent, declared bankruptcy a week before the trial started. His law license has been suspended. Jill, the wife, she's been disbarred. And yeah, so there you go. They'll have to pay $4 million of this themselves. Yeah, like she's ever going to see that money. But good for her. Good for this lady. And wow, what a weird couple. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got more marijuana talk coming up. We've got some Reefer Madness out of the UK who says people who don't believe the gateway theory are deluded. They're just deluded. And from Marijuana Politics, Cannabis Cartman, that would be Chris Christie, attacks Reefer Madness Rubio. Marijuana's having its effect in the 2016 election. And we'll cover it for you here on the Russ Belville Show and my writing on marijuanapolitics.com. Check it out today. We're back after this message from our sponsors.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Voober way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 39 after the hour, and we're going to go across the pond for this tale of someone who's apparently famous that I don't know, but a fellow by the name of Jason Donovan, who is the singer, who is a singer and the former star of Neighbors, not the John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd film, but Neighbors with a U. That I've never heard of. It's an Australian TV show, apparently very popular. Neighbors, I imagine it's like Friends, right? That's my guess. Truthfully, I don't care. But anyway, Jason Donovan has spoken out about his drug use and insisted that weed was a direct line to other things. Yes, terror. He insisted that anyone who doesn't think smoking cannabis leads to harder drugs like cocaine is, quote, deluded, end quote. He said he started smoking cannabis on the set of the Australian TV show Neighbors before he left in 1989 and said that weed was essentially a direct line to Class A drugs. He said that he moved on from cannabis to cocaine and at one point
was snorting up to 30 lines a day when he was playing the lead role in the West End production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat from 1991 to 92. He quit all drugs in 2000. All right, Jason, come here for a second. Let me explain something to you. Anybody who is in a popular television show has the kind of access to weed and cocaine that normal human beings never have. Okay? So your gateway was not marijuana. Your gateway was stardom. This idea that smoking pot then leads you to using other drugs has been discounted and debunked by every reputable scientific organization that's ever studied the topic since you stopped doing drugs. 1999, Institutes of Medicine, University of Pittsburgh, all sorts of studies around the planet have concluded the same thing. There's nothing about marijuana itself, pharmacologically, that programs your mind or primes your circuits or entices you to seek a better high or any of the bullshit psychobabble junk science excuses they make for why there is a progression in drug use. Now, sociologically speaking, that's where your gateway lies. The reason being that the only thing that differentiates someone who started with alcohol and then moved on to cocaine from someone who started with marijuana and then moved on to cocaine, and by the way, there's more of the former than the latter, is the fact that alcohol's a legal drug, so nobody considers it a gateway. That you didn't step past something and do something wrong that entered you into the world of those terrible, icky, illegal drug users. It's the illegality of marijuana that does that, or, as they say across the pond, cannabis, that does that. It's that, oh, he smoked an illegal drug, and then he did other illegal drugs. And you make a post hoc ergo propter hoc of, oh, since this happened first and then that happened and they're both illegal, that therefore the first illegal led to the second illegal. No. Even statistically, it's not true. Like I said, there's more people that move on from alcohol as their first drug to then cocaine than marijuana as their first drug and then to cocaine. Far more. Why is that also? It's because of far greater access to alcohol. Far more popular use of alcohol, and then to the lesser extent, as marijuana is number two on the list, because it's the next most popular and most used and accessible drug. It's just the math, man. It has nothing to do with a psychological or pharmacological or physiological effect. You can, as you know, I make this little point all the time that just because every member of the Hell's Angels' first bicycle was a bike with training wheels doesn't mean that getting your kid a bike with training wheels is going to turn him into a Hell's Angel someday. You're looking the wrong direction. You're focusing the wrong way. But yeah, he used smoke pot in 1989, before 1989, and then ends up snorting 30 lines a day in 91, 92. You know the kind of money you got to make and access you got to have the luxury of snorting 30 lines of cocaine a day? That's part of your gateway. Just the access to it. And it's something to be said about making a scare about something that leads to something scarier. It implicitly says that the first thing ain't that scary. That we don't have enough to scare you about pot, cannabis, right? But if pot leads to the scary meth, coke, or heroin, then it's more scary, right? You know what that kind of thinking does?
it makes some people think, well, okay, then I'll just do pot. I just won't use heroin or coke or meth. Like, if you're trying to keep people off pot, this line of reasoning doesn't really help your cause any. It makes a lot of younger people think, well, oh, okay. So what you're saying is pot's a gateway to these worst things. So don't go through the gateway. Because otherwise you got to convince them that there's some inexorable pull that will force you to do it, right? And that's where this gateway thinking from ex-addicts acts as kind of a rationalization, justification, victimhood kind of thing, right? Oh, woe is me. I started with weed and it pulled me into cocaine. No, motherfucker, you chose to snort some cocaine. Own up to your actions. Own up to what happened and what you did. Go get him, Roscoe. You're damn right. You're damn right, Roscoe. Love having the dog here. But, you know, you make the choice, right? I smoke marijuana. I choose to use cannabis daily. I'm not running around looking for no cocaine. I'm with Muddy Waters on that one. Ain't got time for no cocaine. It's a choice you make, and own up to that and quit trying to blame it on weed and try to foster this gateway theory. It's not helping your cause of keeping people off weed, and it's not factually true. And an emerging body of evidence is showing it to be quite counter to the truth that for many people, marijuana is the exit drug that gets them off of cocaine or heroin or meth. We're finding more and more that people that use cannabis as part of their medicinal regimen are able to use fewer of their opioid prescription pills. And when they use fewer of their opioid prescription pills, they don't have to use all of the anti-nausea pills, the laxative pills. So we're finding cannabis to be the exit drug for many people. And the terminus drug for others. When we talk about recreational use, we find that most of the people that smoke pot, that's where they stop. Now, that's not to say the people who smoke pot might not try other drugs. Primarily, we find pot smokers are kind of into mushrooms. And that's to be expected, both kind of natural in a sense, right? And you know, it's, pot at its basic, you know, it gets misclassified as a narcotic. It's technically a hallucinogen, a very, very mild hallucinogen. So there might be some natural kind of spillover between those type of crowds. But, you know, your pot users tend to like mushrooms. And we found that in Amsterdam when they originally set up the coffee shops. You could get marijuana and a small quantity of magic mushrooms. We don't often find pot users who are also using meth or using heroin or using cocaine to any great degree. But we do find that, you know, there will be some who try it. And I don't have the numbers to be able to prove it, but I'm of the belief that people that are strongly engaged in the cannabis lifestyle, even when they do try those other drugs, are less resistant to end up having problems with those other drugs. I'd like to crunch the numbers and find that out for sure. It's going to be one of my drug war data mining assignments someday, is examination of the actual, of the gateway. How often do people that have tried pot try other drugs? How often, if they've tried other drugs, did they continue using those other drugs as compared to the control group of people who never tried pot but then tried other drugs? There are those people. I know someone whose first illegal drug was heroin. There was no gateway. This person started with heroin, later became a pot smoker to get off heroin. There's all kinds out there. So it'd be interesting to crunch those numbers, I think, and find out, you know, is there a protective effect of marijuana use that protects against addiction to other things? You know, imagine, you know, from that evolutionary point of view, the evolutionary benefit in such a thing, right? If a species is evolving like mankind that learns how to use roots and berries and barks and leaves and flowers to psychoactive benefit and physical medical benefit, things like poppies and the opioids that you get from them that are crucially beneficial for, you know, major trauma, but also have an addictive quality that can be harmful in the long term. What evolutionary benefit is there of the cannabis plant fighting that off? You know, it reminds me of the Abilify commercial, right? Where you got the one pill for your depression. If it's not working enough, we got another pill that helps that out. Well, nature gave us these opioids or these hallucinogenics and all sorts of natural substances of which in limited quantities for specific use, they're good. But if we continue to use them, we become addictive. They become maladaptive. So here's this plant that prevents that from happening, works in balance and synergy with those other plants and fungi. That's just something I think about. something I muse on, man. It's like, what is the purpose of it all? I often think that cannabis is the plant version of the canine, right? Man's companion throughout the evolutionary journey. And our interaction with those species shaped those species. We made cannabis what it is. We made dogs what they are. But also, dogs and cannabis helped us to become what we are. That's some pretty good weed we got in Oregon, isn't it? We're going to take a break. Remember, Stoner Jesus coming up at the top of the hour. We're just going to close things up here at Rolla J Studios in our last week in Portland for a while. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Well, that's easy for you to say, Dan Michaels. Welcome back, folks. Coming up top of the hour, we got Stoner Jesus. He's waiting up in the chat room. Join us in the chat room on CannabisRadio.com. Scroll down to the live player and look for the little cartoon balloon. You click that, it'll be waving at you. Click that, it'll open up a page. You can listen to Cannabis Radio and chat with us live. It's a lot of fun. I'm live, and Stoner Jesus is live here on CannabisRadio.com every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Of course, I'm here Monday through Friday, except for the days I'm not here. Got that? Makes a lot of sense. By the way, for Roland Reverend in the chat room, sore jaw. Yeah, sometimes when you do acid, you'll clench your jaw a lot. You grit your teeth, kind of. That makes your jaw sore. Just a little tip. I don't want to give too many tips out here, but Thanks, everybody, for joining us today on the show. Remember, coming up tomorrow, we've got our extra special International Cannabis Business Conference panel discussion with Anthony Johnson from Measure 91 in Oregon, Debbie Goldsberry from, well, she was with Berkeley Patients Group, wasn't she? And now she's with, I don't remember who she's with now. I'll have to look that up. But she's been a longtime activist, woman of the year type. She'll be joining us from California. And Ngayo Belem, the funniest cannabis comedian out there. I say that without reservation and even knowing Doug Benson, right? Well, I don't know Doug Benson. I just, yeah, I've met Doug Benson. But anyway, Ngayo, Anthony, Debbie, they'll be on starting at 1:30 and going into hour two, Toker Talk Radio. So you'll be able to call in and ask them questions. We're going to be discussing a lot about what's going on with Oregon and the medical marijuana and OHA and all these limits. We'll also talk about California, the Sean Parker Adult Use of Marijuana Initiative, although they don't want us to call it the Sean Parker Initiative because it's lots of people. So the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. We'll talk about that. We'll take your live calls at 971-533-7111. That's tomorrow's show here on CannabisRadio.com. And speaking of Adult Use of Marijuana Act, next Friday, the 19th, I'll be at Seattle's CannaCon, and I'll be hosting a live discussion with Chris Conrad and Mickey Norris discussing that Adult Use of Marijuana Act in California, debunking some of the rumors and scaremongering about it, and taking live calls. So if you got a problem with the Adult Use of Marijuana Act or questions about it, next Friday, the 19th, will be the show to tune into on CannabisRadio.com, the Russ Belville Show. We'll also have archives up there after those shows up on CannabisRadio.com. Stay tuned because Stoner Jesus is coming up next. We are closing things out here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Thanks a lot. And why won't that play? There we go. Still getting everything automated. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Join us tomorrow for the special on the International Cannabis Business Conference, and check me out this weekend from San Francisco. I'll have all sorts of things to post from the International Cannabis Business Conference, including an interview, crossing my fingers, with former Surgeon General Dr. Joycelyn Elders. That'll be a good one. Thanks a lot, everybody. Keep supporting us here at Cannabis Radio. Tell everybody about it. Lots of changes coming up over the next few months. I'm Radical Russ. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, marijuana and driving, as we know, is actually a very hot issue. It was one of the leading concerns that was expressed by our opposition in the Prop 19 campaign. Comes up all the time when you're discussing marijuana legalization. Now, I'm going to try to show you why concerns about an epidemic of casualties from marijuana, from stone drivers, are highly exaggerated. I would remind you of what the very first federal drug czar, Harry Anslinger, said, that legalizing marijuana would mean slaughter on the highways. Most of what Mr. Anslinger ever said about marijuana was wrong. I'm going to try to convince you of the same thing, but first, I'm going to have to come up with a disclaimer, especially at this conference. Let me say at the outset, marijuana does have proven adverse effects on driving skills. Studies, and there have been a lot of them, show that marijuana can impair concentration, reaction time, especially complex reaction time where you have decisions to make, peripheral vision, steadiness of